All right. Tonight's the start of it. Tonight's the beginning of the end for everything going on now. And it's busted off. You know what we're going to do? We're going to start hot Top Gear here. We're going to go with the best of the best.
Yeah.
You know what we're going to start off with? We're going to start off with a freestyle from my boy, Young Onesie.
How you doing? Let's start the beat on the right part. Yeah. It's been a fortnight, my blast coming forth right. You trapped up in my sight, ain't no scenic view tonight. I'm riding with the homies like the moon in the sky at night. Sword out like Meta Knight, who brought a knife to a gunfight? Now I'm about to put on the big bad beard. Here we go, freestyle.
All right, here we go. All right, yo again. I just wanna be your friend.
Skirt.
Yeah. All right. Yo, some more.
Oh snap!
I am gonna fuck your whore.
Ooh.
All right, I think I'm gonna leave Ron on that hot note.
Yeah. Welcome to the cast.
Yeah, this is a cast. This is the Sideways Talking Podcast.
Sideways Talking, episode one. We're going to talk about some things today. Talk about some things that we're very passionate about.
Oh, yeah. All right, and top of the list, how I want to go with this.
First, we're going to talk about good and bad games.
Good and bad games. All right. Now, what exactly is this little segment we got here?
We're going to talk about some games we talked about earlier. We talked about how, like, Konami just essentially screwed Kojima. We're going to talk about PUBG versus Fortnite, you know. And then we're going to move on to, like, things like how Google's coming out with Stadia. Stadia, however you want to pronounce it. And then we're going to talk about tournament for Senpai, Fight for Senpai.
Oh, yeah. I got to say, honestly, I want to start with that.
All right.
Because, honestly, so, if anyone is listening to the podcast, first of all, you're a god among men. Good job. Keep it up. We don't know how often it's coming up, but we know that you're a good person.
Yeah,
so keep
it up. Have a good day.
Yeah. And so you might recognize my voice. I'm going to be commentating on Fight for Senpai tournaments. And you know what? The last guy who commentated plugged his Twitch. So you know what? I think it's my turn. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's time for... what'd you call me?
The Big Bad Beard.
The Big Bad Beard. To show off what he's got for you. And what he's got... This is the best podcast you can hear.
Yeah.
And if you can hear that, that's not like laundry going on in the background. No, that is the rumbling and the drying of dreams, my friend.
Clean clothes.
Yeah.
What more can you ask for?
Seriously. Alright. So, Fight for Senpai tournaments. Mm-hmm. It is... So, by the time this podcast is going to be going up, the second ever Fight for Senpai tournament is going to be going on.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, I was there for the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I know the guy who's leading it. Name's Luke. He's an awesome guy, you know.
You're probably his father.
People do call me a motherfucker. All right. So, yeah, you know, Fight for Senpai. Check it out. Amazing skill. Like, broad cross of local Michigan around Ann Arbor.
Did you play in it?
I did play in it, and I got my ass kicked.
Ooh, what game was up? What game?
I was actually playing Fighters.
Yeah?
Yeah, and...
Is Dragon Ball Z Fighters?
Yeah, Dragon Ball Fighters. You know, to be fair, I hadn't played Fighters in months.
So you were walking this tournament, like, let me dust off this controller.
Yeah. To be completely honest, like, the first fucking, like, game I played in there, I was sitting there and be like, oh yeah, that's a thing. You can spark. I totally forgot.
Let me not regain health. Let me give him a handicap.
Exactly. No, I'm serious. I forgot it all. And like, I was actually super lucky because like the first guy I was playing with just before the actual tournament started was the other commentator I was talking about.
Oh.
Yeah. Like he was super fun. Mr. Krills. He was straight Krillin' it.
Krillin'? He was just playing Krillin'?
He was not playing.
Was he dying a lot?
He won it, actually.
Oh.
No, he's actually pretty... The last match of that was amazing. Okay. Like, it was just back and forth between those last two guys.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, if you want amazing fighting game content, check out the Fight for Senpai.
Check it out.
You can do it yourself. You can join in it. And if you can't join it, you can watch it on stream. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
They probably saved the stream somewhere you can find.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing, like, the way I got in the commentating for that was I got my ass kicked. I won my first match.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my ass kicked the second time.
Ooh.
And I just got kicked out of there. But, like, I got my ass kicked, and I was just like, hey, can I go commentate? And he was like, yeah, you can go commentate. He's like, all right.
That's dope.
And
that's
I almost dope. Destroyed the TV on the way up. In my defense, I was like a beer and a half in, and I'm a lightweight.
Yeah, like, is this a, what kind of TV is this? Let me poke at it.
Yeah, you know, I feel the best way to figure out the quality of a TV is to take a hammer to it.
Take a hammer to it.
Yeah, if it can't take three hammers, it's not worth buying.
Yeah, why would you want it?
Yeah. That does not work in a Best Buy. Don't buy it. It's not a good time for anybody.
You know what's really fun to do with TVs is put magnets to them and have the discoloration.
Does that still work on the new ones?
Probably not, but I remember doing it to my aunt's TV. And it was just I'm pretty sure my dad had to buy her old new TV because of it. But it goes away after like 3 months or something like that.
Damn.
Yeah.
It actually goes away?
Yeah, I remember having a TV that I did it to and it went away after some time. Yeah.
Because I don't know, I don't think it works on the new plasmas. I think it only works on those old ones that work via
tube
late. Yeah, yeah, like tubes and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna act like I know how TVs work. I just look at the pretty pictures and go.
I'm pretty sure it's just still a black screen and we're just imagining what we're putting on the screen.
Man, it's this powerful thing.
Yeah.
Alright. So, Fight for Senpai tournaments, great skill, great fun. The next one that's coming up is gonna be at the club above, downtown Ann Arbor.
Mm.
Check it out. Last one is at Tranquilo Bar. I'm sorry if I forget, but whatever. You know what? Fight for Senpai, amazing. Check it out. But to our next thing.
Yeah, would you say, it's personally for me, I think Dragon Ball Z Fighters, or Dragon Ball Fighter Z, Dragon Z Fighter
Z. Like, Dragon Ball doesn't know how to fucking name things anymore.
Yeah, they're like, we gotta put the Z somewhere, where we're gonna put it?
Oh my god, yeah. I don't know, like, it started with the Super Saiyan Saza. Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
And like, after that, it's just like, let's not care about naming things anymore.
Now Goku just has Ultra Instinct. Like, he just knows everything that's about to happen.
Yeah. Oh my god. I gotta say, I'm probably gonna, put a link to it somehow in the podcast. But there's the Macy Day's parade, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know how they have the big balloons and shit for the parade?
Yeah.
They had a Goku one.
Right? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a Super Saiyan Blue Goku.
Oh, snap.
But the most amazing thing is the commentator. Guy never watches anime. Has like lapped everyone in the anime community five times over with one line. You know what it was?
Oh, what was it?
He was talking about the Goku balloon.
Yeah.
And he called it Super Saiyan Blue.
Super Saiyan.
Can you fucking believe that? No one! No one came up with it.
Go take a walk. Watch at least one episode.
Without even missing a step, he just came up with the perfect name for it.
It would have actually worked out, too. Like,
yeah.
Super Saiyan, yeah.
Super Saiyan!
Yeah.
I think it's like, that guy is a god amongst anime fans, and he is like 50, 60 years old and has never watched anime.
Really. He should write some anime for Dragon Ball.
He should write Dragon Ball Superheroes. Have you seen that fucking garbage?
Oh! Yeah, it's all about Trunks.
I haven't watched it. Same. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah. I feel that. I feel like it's a Boruto situation.
Oh my. People really like Boruto, though.
I can't. So I couldn't get into Boruto because at the very start they had technology where it's essentially like they had scrolls on Ben 10 watches.
Shape of a toad. Now a fox.
Yeah. And I was like, where's the hand signs? You can't see it, but I'm actually doing hand signs. I really like the hand signs, and it feels like, you know, I feel like it's just a little bit too soon. A little bit too soon.
Yeah, the hero agrees with you.
Yeah.
Obviously.
It has some very important things to say, you know? Like, the fire style, heat the house jutsu, and, you know? And he's doing the hand signs right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's amazing. He's like a machine.
Yeah. You should see him go. You should see him go.
Just runs. But, like, I don't know, stepping back to Dragon Ball superheroes or whatever, it's just, I don't know how it exists. Like, it's, like, the animation isn't good, but, like, it's not bad enough for me to be like, oh, it's some guy in his garage made this. like, have you heard of Dragon Ball Absalon?
Absalon, I've heard of it. It's a YouTube series?
Yeah. There's only, like, 3-4 episodes out of it.
Okay.
It's never going to go any further. But the animation in that is better than like, I don't even remember. Like, yeah. I don't know. They bring back Super Saiyan 4.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and there's, some villain with, a Bane mask.
Yeah. The most I've seen of it is people making fun of it.
Yeah.
it's great. But, like, I was going to say, oh, yeah. I just want to put it out there. I have two big things about Dragon Ball. Just big, bombshells that will just, blow the lid off of all conspiracies. Hey, people want to know, right?
Mm.
How strong is Super Saiyan God compared to Super Saiyan 4, right? And the factual answer, this cannot be disputed. God is so far beyond regular Super Saiyan 4.
Yeah, it's called God. Like,
No. Here's my proof, all right? So, Super Saiyan 4, Gogeta, Vegeta and Goku fuse, right?
Yeah.
In Super Saiyan 4.
Mm.
Super Saiyan 4, Gogeta's hair is red. That's my entire argument. They cannot be disputed.
So, you would say Goku Black is stronger than Gogeta because his hair is pink?
Yes.
All right. Do you feel like they were going for, a Power Rangers thing when they were like...
Yes, exactly. Oh, my God. Like, you didn't see Broly, but God damn it, do I really feel like Frieza could easily become Rita Repulsa.
Rita Repulsa?
It's the main, antagonist from the Power Rangers when I watched
Rangers.
Like, she was, her whole deal was, she was just behind the scenes and evil, and she just... throughout bad guys to fight the heroes or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel... I don't know, do you have a... we'll talk about it later.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that's what I feel about it. But on the topic of Frieza,
mm-hmm.
you play the Dragon Ball games, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to make a Frieza character?
Mm-hmm.
Just call the Frieza Clan or whatever? That's dumb as shit.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Fact is, that whole race... Space dragons.
Space dragons, and I can feel that. I feel that a lot because, they got the tail, they got essentially scales in a sense.
Yeah.
Cooler. He essentially put scales on him.
Yeah.
The
Frieza is like the strongest being, base level, basically.
And that's kind of, also some BS, story writing to call the Frieza clan when it's like, oh, everyone's based around Frieza?
Yeah, that's fucking lame.
They're not based around, at least King Cole.
Exactly,
something.
Yeah. I don't know. King Cole would have been a cool character, I think.
Then what?
I don't he just showed up to die,
Yeah.
And, they didn't forget about him. Mm-hmm. When they revived him in that movie, they were like, should we bring back King Cold? And Frieza was like, nah, that's a bitch. Hate my day.
How do you even think they reproduce? Do you think they just drop eggs or something?
I like to think that the Frieza clan reproduce by... I got nothing for this. I was just trying to think of something gross, but not too gross. But everything I thought was either lame as shit or just fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
I'll give you a brief synopsis of what I thought. It went from Frieza clan reproduce by eating a lot of Taco Bell, all the way to the other end of they tail fuck.
They just tail fuck.
No, they don't have tails. They just have big ass dicks.
Yeah, they reproduce. You should look it up, the Die Fantasy song, where the tentacles just plows the main characters of the music video.
Mm.
That's worthwhile watch. It'll blow your mind.
Quite literally
at the end. Die Fantasy? Yeah, no, you should see that.
Is that the swimming pool thing?
Yep,
pool. I've seen that.
Yeah.
That is, put a pin in that for the end, in the podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to just go over shit we like.
Yeah.
And I have something... Like, I have a playlist of trippy shit that I throw out there. Because, like, I show you a lot of videos.
Yeah.
Honestly, a lot of those videos just come from that, like, all the videos I show you, I throw in this pot, in that playlist I was talking about. I'm just going to throw that out in public, and hopefully people watch it on YouTube.
Yeah. You know, give them some extra views, you know, couldn't
hurt.
Yeah.
All right, so. Got sidetracked to talk about Dragon Ball.
Oh,
so let's get back on track, and let's talk about Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah.
Let's talk about just game, like the whole good game, bad game plan.
Good game design behind these games.
Yeah. So let's start. Okay, let's start by talking about just some good games we like and what we like about them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, would you like to start or me?
All right. We can start about, like, why do you think Dragon Ball FighterZ is a good game?
I think it just streamlined fight, like, particularly streamlined anime fighters, which can become fucking insane.
They can be garbage.
Oh, yeah. Like here's the thing, like, a big part of it is, like, it's fun to see the crazy shit you can do.
Mm.
But at the same time, I will never be able to play Blaze Blue in my life. Like, if I put a hand on that controller of that, my character will just die. I'll try to do something, and the AI will just throw out, like, hentai powers, and I would just be fucked.
I think the main problem with anime fighters is that they try to put the essentially, like, effed up scaling that's in anime into the game.
Really?
Yeah, so, like, you get situations where it's, like a very powerful jutsu in the anime will be in the game, and it's just kind of like, oh, what do I do in, you know, to counter this? How do I escape these kind of things?
Mm-hmm.
You got problems with, like, characters. Oh, Blaze Blue has a huge problem with the Jin character, who's a sword mixed with, like, the ice elemental. So you got, and also, some people who make anime fighters games probably haven't made a fighter game before. So you got a lot of, like, just terrible, like, oh, this character just attacks way too long. This character is just, like, at a certain skill level, just essentially becomes an unstoppable character, you know what I mean?
Damn.
You got, like, Naruto Generations, or Naruto Ninja Storm. You got Deidara, his whole thing is, like, I'm going to throw clay bombs. And then that's all he does. You can't get in on him.
I'll be super honest. When you talk about anime fighters, I was thinking, like, along the lines of, like Guilty Gear stuff.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you're talking about, like, the Naruto games, right?
Yeah, but that could also be applied to fighters as well. I mean, like,
I think fighters is super balanced.
But across all boards, you just said Blaze Blue is...
I think Blaze Blue asks a lot of the player, and I don't think you can expect the player to figure that shit out. Like, there's one character whose, like, whole gimmick is that he's a baseball player. And, like, I don't super understand how he works, but I think the way he works is, like, he has a bat that he can hit projectiles with, and if he uses a move and misses a projectile, he'll get a strike. If he hits the projectile, he'll get a hit. If he hits the projectile, he either gets hit, strike, or ball or something.
Okay, what's the strikes? At three strikes, does something happen to him?
I think at three strikes, I haven't played the game. Probably. I'm just going off of, like, what I'm trying to remember about a video I saw months ago.
No, you're good.
It's just tough, because, I don't know, like, I just think, like, anime fighters expect you to do a lot of combos, and, like, combos aren't that hard if you know how the game works, as in, like, try to get into a launcher, then jump after them, then just button mash, and that's usually good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the more you do it, the more, like, you, like, want to try new things. But the entry level of, like, going from not ever playing fighting games to playing something where you're expected to fucking, like, know a sequence to do shit is ridiculous. And you can't expect. And that's what I think fighters bridges that gap really well, particularly with those auto combos.
Oh, yeah.
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 And I hear people talk shit about the auto combos, and you know what? Some of it's fair. Like, I hear people talk about how, like, if you whiff an auto combo, you shouldn't be, like, and you just keep doing
it. Oh, you'll catch it back up.
Yeah, you'll turn around and keep on doing it.
Yeah.
And I think that's fucked up. I think if you keep matching it, you should keep facing the other direction, away from the opponent.
Yeah, be exposed.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you think that the game should be more fair for the person on the defensive side or the person on the offensive side, you know, for game progression, you know. Say you're, like, so you can have situations like where the enemy character is just off space a little bit to get hit by some of the combo, and then it drops, and then the other character has an ability. So you're saying that you have to, you know, set almost perfectly, get, like, the combo going to get the full combo.
Yeah. I think that auto combos, which are basically just hitting the same button over and over and over again, is really easy. And I think if you want to rely on what's really easy, you should be punished for failing the easy thing.
Got you. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You think they're ever going to fix that?
No. Maybe in Fighters 2. But I don't know. I don't even know if Fighters 2 is going to happen, or if they're just going to keep going with DLC.
They should. The character selection is great. Each character has their own very unique play style. Yeah. If anything, they should expand more on, like, the fact that you could have Vegeta and Goku, and I think it would be cool. You have three characters in this game. I think it would be cool if there was possibly, like, a special move where you have Goku and Vegeta.
Yeah, like team-up attack.
Or they fusion.
Yeah.
They already have team-up attack. If you have Krillin and 18, they'll
That's not really. It's more like just, like, a cosmetic on top of an already existing move.
That's true. But I do think fusion should be a thing.
I like the idea of fusion. Like, it does. I think fusion does a lot for that. Because, like, it increases the risks of, like, if you fuck up, you're losing two characters at once.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, on your game, you can do a lot of damage to all the guys.
And the game will look. The game already looks like anime.
Oh my god, it looks really amazing. Good.
Yeah, and then, like, it really plays out scenes really well. There's different types of character interactions. And fusion just will add to that.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You know, fusion I always wanted to see? I Budokai 2, they had it. And I don't think I've seen it anywhere else. Tien and Yamcha.
Yeah! And then they had, like, the...
it was so dumb. It
George
was amazing.
Costanza had
it. Yeah!
That Budokai series was a gem of its time. It was before
its time.
Budokai, like, and then the first couple of Tenkaichis. And then they fucked up with the Xenoverse. I thought that was... Like, have you ever played Player 1 versus Player 2 and Xenoverse?
I've never played Xenoverse.
They would have situations like Team Gohan would have, like, one bar of health, like, one full bar of health, and then, like, some overpowered character would have, like, five bars of health.
Oh, my... You know what? I haven't played that, but playing the Tenkaichi games, that happens so often.
Oh, yeah. No.
You can edit
the bars, but, like, I don't even think...
I'm serious. Like, there's a lot of, like, story missions where you'll be, like you gotta play as the Cybermen or something.
Yeah. Story missions, yeah, but, story missions, I think story is important to a game. It helps you, like, even like the game a bit more. Any game that comes out the game with multiplayer, I think it's a cop-out, because it's just kind of like, you're just gonna avoid a campaign as a whole. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And then also, you know what I like to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
This whole change from, like, LAN, you know, like, being able to play a single-player game to, like, things has to be online.
No one likes things being only online.
Right.
No one likes that.
I don't know the general percentage of players who have access to at least good Wi-Fi, but the amount of times I've been in just any given situation where the Wi-Fi craps out, the Wi-Fi is not good, and the lag is just kind of like brings the whole game to a minimum.
Yeah, seriously, like, if you want to play a game, you don't want to have to first connect to some server somewhere else.
Yeah.
Have all your shit verified, and then while you're playing, and while you finally get the chance to play, you then have to fucking, like, upload everything you're doing to this other console somewhere far away from you just to fuck shit up.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna turn on the PS4, I wanna get the red squares of death, and then I wanna blow the thing off, and then put the game back in, and I just wanna play one of my favorite PS2 games, Need for Speed Underground 2, you know?
Need for Speed?
Yes, that game is awesome.
I wish I got into racing games.
I would actually recommend, like, Forza Motorsports. That game at Forza? Least looks fun, yeah.
Okay.
But, like, a classic game for me is Need for Speed Underground 2. And it came with a demo of Burnout 2. Burnout 2 Takedown. And Burnout, the demo at least, was so fun. It was so fun. If you like racing games, I recommend that. I don't want to start a game up and then wait forever for the game server to find like five other people, you know, and like, and then get in the game finally and then lag myself out and lose, you know.
It has to be annoying. Like, you know, I think this dovetails pretty well, and this will be kind of a jumping the gun moment, but we're talking about, you know, like, how we don't want games to be, like, connected to online all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that dovetails pretty well into talking about the Stadia. Because you see, I have a lot of problems with the Stadia.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the Stadia, I think, has a lot of potential to really change things if it works out.
Facts.
Because, like, here's the thing. Other companies have tried to do stuff like the Stadia.
Mm-hmm.
But a big problem was that none of them really had the infrastructure to support it.
Right.
Google might be one of the only companies in existence that could consider this.
Yeah.
Because, like, you need insane, like, storage farms, like computer farms, just to run. Because, like, the idea behind Stadia, right, is that if you have a good enough internet connection, you can just play any game on any console.
Oh, I thought it was just PC. Is it on
PC, yeah. Yep. Any PC. It could be a shit PC. If it has good internet connection, then whatever.
It's essentially like how Hulu or Netflix streams movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm. Stadia, whatever, will stream games. And I think what it opens up, like Fortnite's a good example where it's like, it changes very frequently, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you can always expect something new in development, whether or not, like, it might get a little bit stale or whatnot. But, like, think of a game that's essentially like forever changing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you could be playing a racing game and they could just like upload, like, all right, you're racing this way, and now they could add the map very fast. They could, you know, like, DLC for this kind of situation might be quite ridiculous, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Because the idea is that, like, you don't actually have to download it per se.
Yeah.
You'll be streaming it, which is technically constantly downloading.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it will always be accessible if you, like, are willing to put the money into it.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a monthly situation.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And if you're already paying monthly, you shouldn't have to buy DLC.
Oh, yeah. It's bullshit. But honestly, I think we got in it before we actually did the podcast. But, like, I think there's some serious problems with the concept. And looking up the reveal trailer for the Stadia.
Yeah.
After it happened, a few of the words I had were brought up.
Yeah.
And Google was just like, eh, shut up. Figure it out. Okay, and I know I'm jumping the gun on what I'm talking about, but just trust me. I'm going to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
So, one big problem is that I looked up what the Stadia needs to have for a minimum. And I checked out, and like they're kind of vague on it. Mm-hmm. And if I could check it out, I would, but I don't have it on me. But if I can remember, it requires at least a 25 MBS connection to run its minimum settings. Now, what MBS means either means megabits per second or megabytes per second. And both of those aren't very good because you're either asking a connection to have like 25 megabytes per second. It might have been per minute. 25 megabytes per minute to download, or 25 megabits per minute to download.
Either way, if you're running on a situation where it's like, you might have a, like, playing a game could be, playing a Stadia game could be almost risky in a sense that, like, what if you have, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a limit, you know?
Data caps. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because, like, let's add up the numbers then. Let's go with the conservative one. Let's say it's 25 megabits per minute. to play an hour of games on the Stadia at 25 megabits per minute adds up to nearly, I think, like 12 gigabytes an hour.
Ooh! Yeah, no.
That's not okay.
Yeah, you can't have caps. You can't have caps.
No, and like even worse, if it's megabytes per minute, that is 90 gigabytes an hour.
I run through... I would say I use only like 10 gigabytes on my phone a month. Like,
yeah,
to run through that in an hour, like, wow.
Yeah, it's insane. And like, the other problem that was brought up was just having that kind of connection existing. Like, that's a fast pace to have.
Yeah.
You have to be pretty fucking up there.
Yeah.
And like, it's been pointed out that, they might be like, you know, stream, like they might be building infrastructure to make such things, mm-hmm. as in like expanding fiber optic wires to more areas and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that's a very localized thing that happens sporadically in small communities.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, like, I don't think it's politically feasibly possible, because cable companies are the ones that would have to decide to make such fiber optic cables viable. That would have to be the ones to create that infrastructure to line up all of the wire across the country or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's expensive as shit.
You think, like, society, including with, like, Apple phone products, you know, mm-hmm. do you feel like they're becoming a little bit more of, like, There's like the upper class, you know, or upper uh-huh. middle class, where it's just kind of like, this is our demographic, but we're not going to say it's our demographic.
Yeah.
And like, there's becoming a kind of a larger rift between the ability to just people are really like, you know, it's easy to pick up like PlayStation 4, play Grand Theft Auto.
Uh-huh.
It's easy to do that kind of thing, but what isn't going to be easy is also the fact that this is going to be a PC thing. I feel like it's just gonna, perspective a little away from games, and more just like a little bit more of a broader view mm-hmm. on like probably American society and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
But I think it adds to it, you know, where it's just kind of like, you don't have the ability to play the game.
I really appreciate this concept, because mm-hmm. like, the idea behind it is basically like, okay, so I think, I don't think it's controversial to say that things are easier the richer you are,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, there's problems, as in, like, when you try to, like, maintain that wealth, it might, be difficult to maintain a company and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, day-to-day life is crazy easier.
Yeah, like, a lot of problems with people under the line of just, like, being rich or whatnot, a lot of their problems can be solved with money. And besides, like, maybe interpersonal problems, but, mm-hmm. like, people got bills to pay. People got, you know, gas to pay for. People got, you know, all these things. And it's just kind of like, that becomes their wall of problems. And then, like, it's kind of hard to see past that wall of problems, you know, where it's just like, yeah. all my problems could be paid if Jeff Bezos would just give me just a couple dollars.
Yeah. If they just raise the like minimum wage of like his like nearly like country level like organization of like funds and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and just distribute that a little like to their workers instead of running them ragged.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I am going based off of like my experience talking to someone who I know used to work at a Amazon, shipping store, facility. Yes. You know, I gotta say, this is kind of derailed, but damn it, was that last, like, season of South Park good?
Yeah, it got canceled. I
really do think the people who run that are sick of making South Park.
Yeah, because what I noticed is I feel like, you ever seen the Walmart episode?
Yeah, the old one.
Yeah. I feel like that's exactly, maybe that's not what they were getting at, because there was also like the pot storyline and whatnot. But in a sense, South Park is like, it could either be satirical or they could have a little bit more personal episodes with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're being satirical, they're usually talking about American society, and that got really big towards the later episodes where they were talking about like you know, just a lot of different things, you know. You know, I think a big part of why South Park went the way it did, so I think South Park was, the idea behind it was always to try to be as offensive as possible.
Yeah.
And from the very outset, they succeeded. Like, they were the only ones talking about, having sex with feces, or whatever the fuck South Park did, or whatever. Like, the point of the original South Park was just basically grotesquely offensive. And get away with it, because it was just some silly cartoon.
Mm.
And it worked out. And eventually, people stopped caring.
Because there's only so many times you could get Jew jokes.
Yeah, exactly. And eventually, they had to, you know, try to get more offensive. Mm. And when you can't just say fuck in a... When you get to the point where you can just say fuck in a crowded theater, and everyone laughs, instead of most people laughing... at the guy who went, oh, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
It changes, because, like, you can't just say fuck anymore, because it's not an actual laugh anymore. It's just a joke that exists.
Yeah, it become meta, in a sense. You know, people got used to the pushing boundaries of using curse words, you know. Now they brought the level down to, like, people say fucking shit on TV all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, have you watched original South Park recently?
Not original, but I do remember some episodes.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Why would you? I have. And it's literally just like, hey, what if we had Cartman shit for a long time? Yeah. And it's bad.
Yeah,
it's not enjoyable to watch.
I was talking with I'm taking a class, and I was talking to this other student the other day, and I was reading, because it was lunchtime, and he was like, I don't like to read that much. And I was like, you know, this is what I think about it. I think that in at least the societies that are like in Ann Arbor, in New York, whatever the big cities or even smaller cities than those, like, the input of information or the frequency that you take in information is just, like, it becomes a lot faster because you got YouTube videos, you got, like, pretty short articles that you can read. Anything that takes longer, people's attention spans are, like, really short, you know? So, like, add that with the idea that things become a little bit more meta, like fart jokes, like, you know,
yeah.
How many times can we say shit in an episode, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I think that actually was something South Park tried to do.
Yeah, they did it. I don't know the number, but they said it quite a couple times.
I'm sorry, I derailed you. What was going on?
No, you're good. It's just that, like, people essentially are just, they want more faster. They want good content, you know, something that pushes the boundary. Like, no one wants to see another vampire movie anymore. No one wants to play another zombie game anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want something new, we want something fresh, and it's because it's kind of obvious that society, or at least not even society, but the people who make content for the broad mass of people, they're obviously switching gears. Like, you got a lot more female protagonists, and that's, like, that is super interesting in terms of, like, oh, yeah, let's watch another basic... I actually hate the whole, like, alpha, beta, Chad, virgin thing, but, like...
I mean, like, the whole, another derail, another tangent, is that, I don't know, I feel like it's, amongst people who actually looked it up to study, like, actually found it interesting, the idea of, like, alpha, beta is based off, like, wolves and shit.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah, that's not real either, yeah. Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, like, I heard it like a while ago that, like, yeah, the whole alpha beta thing.
Like in nature, like, there's like a mom and dad to the group.
Yeah,
like, it's not like an alpha beta. It's like, I birthed you.
You are my son.
Exactly.
And so you got situations like that where it's just kind of like we're tired of seeing the old perspectives.
Yeah, and to wrap it back to the whole idea of with attention spans going, getting shorter, and, like, people wanting more information faster. A big, like, drawback of that is that you can't put as much information into it anymore. Like, there's not enough room for corrections. It's just, here is what I'm saying. Either accept it or don't, and that's it.
I feel like that will definitely become the situation for, like, the broadening expansion of, like, Netflix, like, Hulu, who watches cable anymore? And you got situations like,
anyone can now pick and choose what they want to watch. And so everyone probably has a different type of pool of things that they watch. And it's no longer really like everyone watches Seinfeld, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if something wants to be watched by a bunch of people, it has to be pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
You know, like Game of Thrones, there's so many different characters, so many different situations going on where you're like, if you don't like this storyline, you might like another storyline going on in like this hour-long episode, you know? And so, like, yeah, I would say Game of Thrones might be like the Seinfeld of our generation in a sense.
Man, I haven't watched Game of Thrones, so I can't really say, but something I'm willing to say I could like get the same opinion on is Atlanta.
Atlanta, oh, that show is so good.
It's amazing.
So good.
Like, good. And another little tangent.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Donald Glover. Like, he's good at everything.
He's good at everything. That was part of his SNL monologue. It was funny. He was like, I can do everything except be a actor on the show. Like, he was like, have you guys seen my audition yet? And he was like, no. And then this one person was like, oh, for my audition, I did this. They still wouldn't let me on. Like,
wait, I don't understand that, because he started as an actor, and then he...
Did he start as an actor or a writer?
I mean, he might have started as a writer. I don't know. But I think most people know him originally from Community.
Yes. Yes.
And then he became an actor in Atlanta, and
I would say before that he did rapping for Childish Gambino.
Yeah, definitely.
The next thing he just got to do, which is I bet it's going to be in our lifetime, he's got to make a movie.
Oh my God,
direct
yes.
a movie like Jordan Peele, Get Out.
Dude, it's almost like I feel like I want to say it's almost a foregone conclusion that there's going to be a collaboration with Jordan Peele and
Childish Gambino or Donald Glover.
God damn it, it's just... I'm just annoyed that he doesn't go by Childish Gambino anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a good name.
It's a good name. What's annoying about it is, like, him... I think an annoying thing about doing everything... While he's a cut above Jack of All Trades, Master of None... Mm-hmm. It's at least, you could at least say, if he's a master of all trades, he only has enough time to really focus that master skill on one thing.
I super understand that. Like, it really seems like he just masters a thing at a time, and then he just can go back to whatever he's mastered before when he needs to.
Yeah, and he has such a fan base where it's just kind of like, oh, I'm going to do rapping for a bit. That's cool. I'm going to make a show. That's cool.
Seriously. If I can just talk about Atlanta for 1 minute.
Yeah.
I love how much of a piece of shit her is. Like, he treats his girlfriend like, okay, so when he's not making a big, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a pretty good, like, boyfriend, honestly. Like, he, like... And honestly, I'm not sure if that's his kid or her kid.
No, that's their kid.
Their kid?
Yeah.
Actually, so much worse.
Yeah, no, I think...
Because it doesn't even seem like after they break up, he even sees that kid ever again. It seems like he just planned to go to Europe and then never see, like, his, like, ex-girlfriend or kid ever again.
That Europe episode when he dropped the gun to the other dude's bag.
I love that so much. I was like, they're just foreshadowing that he was going to, like, end these college kids, like, screw them over. But then you realize, like, oh, he has kind of a moral. And that moral fucks him up. And fucking everything up for him. Because, you can't blame him.
You can't blame him because it's just kind of like it's a me or you situation.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, the problem with Earn's problem is even say at the very beginning of the show, he's not willing to look at the world from anyone else's perspective.
Yeah, he has to do things his way.
And he's like, and if you're not willing to even think about other people's perspective, you're going to be a huge asshole.
Yeah.
like, I think the episode where him and his girlfriend break up shows us off perfectly.
Yeah, and thing. Yeah.
And you know, fair enough. Like, I've gone to German Fest before.
Mm.
They are lame as shit. They're annoying, they're loud, they're crowded, and they're just obnoxious. But some people fucking love that shit. Some people find it the most enjoyable thing in the world.
Yeah, if you're not at least part of the tradition, or you don't find a tradition like that like enjoyable to be a part of.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to like really immerse yourself in that situation.
And the worst part of it, he never even tried to like care about, like, what she was into.
Yeah, he was like, he's like...
And she fucking bailed him out of jail.
Yeah.
She fucking, like, housed him when he had nothing.
Yeah.
And he just dropped it. Just because, like, one thing seemed really lame, and he was too big for that shit.
He lost that ping pong.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think, one more thing I wanted to say about that episode. Mm. That episode, I think, was just a great thing for everybody.
Yeah.
I think that episode was amazing, just as a concept of looking at what a relationship can be like.
Mm-hmm.
When someone just made it, and with, especially if one person in a relationship just does not want to be part of it anymore.
Mm.
I think that is what that episode was all about. And I remember watching it, and there's a scene in there where they, and like, here's the thing, Atlanta makes it, is like really good about race. Mm. I think it handles like dealing with race really well.
Mm.
And a lot of people say, oh, people inject race into everything now. And I think that's mostly bullshit.
Yeah.
But this episode in particular, I think, did do that. I think it did inject a race question into it for no reason.
No, I think that we're so used to seeing white protagonists against literally everything that when there's a change in race, we're so used to, like, think about it. Like, up until probably literally Get Out, or maybe movies before that, there's if you want to watch a black movie, not to say anything bad, like, I'm black, you know, if you want to watch a black movie, it has to be, like, super duper dramatic, or it's got to be about Madea, or, you know, it's like, there wasn't a category for, you know, for a show like Atlanta, or, you know, you could, mm-hmm. you know, like, something that wasn't just, like, so tied to, selling, like not to say stereotypes, but like it was more than the stereotypes in general, you know. Uh-huh. And so you got situations like Atlanta being I'm a rap fan, you know, so like, yeah. I really like the hip hop vibes that are in it.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think Paperboy. I think Daryl, what's his friend's name?
Which friend? The guy who's really like spaced out all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Right? It starts with a D. I keep thinking Daryl, but I don't know if that's the right one.
Just go with Daryl. Just let the listeners think he's the guy from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's
just say that he's in there.
Yeah.
It's crossbone shit.
Yeah, so you just got, like, people get so used to just seeing, like, essentially white people and then one black person, and then the second yeah. there's more black people or more people of color, then it's just kind of like, oh, my goodness, this is about race, you know? And then it's like... Like, what people don't understand, or I guess what white people don't understand, is that you're so used to seeing, like, people were like, Black Panther, impossible, with as if they have never heard of Harry Potter, you know? So it's just kind of like, people, no matter what you do, race is always going to be a part of something, mm-hmm. as long as race is evident. As long as you see the person, or know that the person of color is making this, mm-hmm. then their perspective is going to be put on it, like, no matter how you spin it, you know? And so, like, what I think white people have defaulted white society to be society, and the second it changes, then it's just like, oh, this is about race. But what actually is just like, it's always been about race, you know?
That's fair. And here's the thing, to a good degree of that, I agree. Because talking about Atlanta specifically, again, I think it handles the concept of race really well. I think you bring up the point of like white society being like the, what's it called? The like status quo, the concept of it being the
yeah.
status quo, not the reality of it being the status quo,
yeah.
is a big problem. And I think Atlanta, most of the time, deals with that very well. But I just want to talk about this particular episode,
because
race doesn't come into the episode in any other part of it, except for literally one scene where... the girl is talking to her friend who is also black, and she she really fell into this whole German thing. She had like she found a white boyfriend or something. She goes to this German fest all the time. She straightens her hair and also complains about how she wishes she could have curly hair, even though her hair is naturally curly, and that's dumb. And like. Yeah, and those all seem interesting, and those all can be interesting concepts and worthwhile concepts to talk about. Because she ends up saying that she chose white, while the girl, Ern's girlfriend, chose black. And she implies that Ern's girlfriend is having problems because she chose black. And those are interesting concepts that deserve their own episode to talk about. The problem I'm having is that the whole episode was only dealing with the concept of when one side of a relationship doesn't want to be part of a relationship.
I think the part that deserves a whole episode is just it's actually in multiple episodes in terms of, like, it's kind of more like they touch on that just a little bit more, where it's like, you ever seen the Champagne Poppy episode where
I've seen all the episodes, but I have to remember them.
When the girls go to Drake's party.
Yes.
Yeah. When one of the girlfriends.
Yeah, she looks at one girl, was like, that fucking, like, puckered, like anus lipped face, that level of puckered.
Yeah, and it became a meme for a little bit. Yeah, like that's that situation where it's just like, look at you, you know? It's just kind of like they did that part. I can't think of another example, but it's just kind of like there's always going to be that, like, a contrast in terms of situations. Mm-hmm.
I think you're right about that, because, like, I think the reason it stood out so much in the relationship episode is because you're just surrounded by white in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Drake, like, you see a lot more, like, ethnicity. I think you still see a lot of white in that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it just... But I think, like, the whole concept of, like, white society being the... considered the default makes you pay more attention to, you know, when something isn't white. Like, exactly. Like you were saying.
Yeah.
So, I think I'm starting to get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't think I've changed my idea that it... Like, I don't think I've changed the idea that it's... That scene does stand out in a way that detracts from the general concept.
Yeah,
but
does,
I think it works really.
Yeah,
I think it does help connect the whole, like, concept of race being like an issue with the series as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why that was in there. I still think it stands out, and I do still think it detracts from the maybe not detracts, but definitely distracts to a jarring point from the relationships being hard angle of that episode.
It definitely does. Like, they definitely, like, put those two characters aside to have that conversation.
Yeah. Atlanta is so good. Can we just talk about, like, what's your favorite episode of Atlanta?
Favorite episode of Atlanta? I'm talking slow because I'm trying to think of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Probably has to go to, it might have to go to either the episode where Paperboy gets lost in the woods, like he's just walking, then he almost gets mugged, and then
Or
I think he did get mugged, and then he's just walking in the woods.
Yeah, he did, and then he had to run away from, like, people trying to steal the rest of his shit.
Yeah, either that episode, the episode where the character also known as Daryl. is trying to buy a piano.
Yes! Oh my god, that one is terrifying! I gotta say, the structure of, like, how they lay out the episodes is amazing.
Yeah.
Because, like, I watched them in order.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, and, like, the episode right before that is the episode where Paperboy goes to get a haircut.
Yes!
And I love that. Because here's the thing, it's a tie between that episode and the piano episode.
Yeah.
For me. And the total whiplash between... Going from the funniest episode of possibly one of the funniest, like, hour I've seen.
I'm just trying to get a haircut, man.
Yeah. Oh my god! Just something that's so fucking, like, warped and twisted.
Yeah,
and scary.
Creepy. Yeah.
Because here's the thing: if that guy succeeded, and if he had, like, dark sense of humor. The aftermath might have been fucking hilarious. Because here's exactly what would happen if he succeeded in killing Daryl?
Yeah, aka.
Yeah. What would have happened is he would have called the cops, said there was a break-in, said this person died, and there would be a whole news story about this guy who broke into a house and killed a legendary musician. And the whole time, that creep would have just been trying to advertise his fucking museum. So, like, you just have to imagine just fucking, like a news reporter coming in. So, like, so, Dateline NBC, 12 o'clock, tragedy struck at Mansion 420 whatever street. And here is the only survivor. What do you have to say?
Well, we have an opening. We're going to have a grand opening tomorrow, actually. Anyone that wants to come can see our amazing museum to my dad.
And a famous musician in a wheelchair with a bandaged face is going to be there against his will.
I mean, a lot of people talked about how we should bury him, but I was the closest with him. I think he would like to be strung up in lingerie.
And if he tries to escape, or he's surrounded by fire, so if he tries to escape, he'll just turn into ash.
No, I think the idea was he would have killed the Daryl and him.
Oh.
I think that was the idea, but I could be wrong.
No, you're good.
Yeah.
He definitely, when the bandage character saw AKA Daryl, he put up a sign that's just like, he's gonna kill us both with a shotgun.
Yeah, exactly, like
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The episode was good. Did he end up getting that piano? I think he did.
No, I think it got taken away as evidence.
Yes, you're right.
To be fair, that's a pretty fucking cool piano.
And also, to be fair, you should expect that trying to find that piano on, like, Craigslist or something.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I've never used Craigslist, and, like, I feel like if I ever just wanted to die, I would be like, hey, I just look on Craigslist for, like, sharpest knife.
Do you think, very odd tangent, what do you think it is about society that makes, like, something like Craigslist, something about, like, a stranger meeting a stranger, mm-hmm. or possibly the evil stranger being like, I can get someone, you know, to,
yeah.
I can finally make human connection, you know, what do you think it is about, like, the terrible stories of Craigslist, you know, like,
here's the thing. I think those terrible stories have always existed.
Yeah.
I think only recently we've been able to see those terrible stories. Like, you don't have to try hard at all to find terrible things going on at every point in history. Right before the internet, there was that guy dressed as a clown and strangled children.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that was a thing. I don't know. I think there's always been fucked up people. And that nowadays, we can see it more.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, here's the thing. I think a lot of people would instantly jump to the conclusion that life has always been crazy dangerous and people have always been super fucked up. But I don't think that's true at all. I think even now, there's just people. And there's some fucked up people. But most people just want to live their fucking life.
Yeah, yeah. More people who are more concerned with problems like getting to work, getting back from work, eating, you know, they're less worried about or less, you know, like they're not bored, you know, and then like essentially like bored and crazy people, they don't make a good mix.
Yeah, no, dude, I don't know, like if you listen into philosophy, like at least like the kind of philosophy I look into, so YouTube philosophy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people talking about like just how boredom is one of the worst things that they can be. Cause like if you're in pain, if you're suffering, you're not bored. You are dealing with something and you have a goal to try and get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're bored, you got nothing. Mm-hmm. And you would be willing to do crazy shit just to stop being bored.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know if that's true, because, I'm a hard person to get bored. Like, if there's nothing for me to do, I can just think to myself about what kind of stories I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can occupy myself without anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, and being bored is weird to me, because, like, if you got nothing to do, think about shit. Like my job right now, I'm a telecommunications person. I just call people about their healthcare all the time. And so often, I won't have anything to do other than call people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just think about, oh man, what about the story I want to write for my creative writing class?
Mm-hmm.
And that just creates however long I want it.
Yeah. So,
and like it just occupies your time. And I've never been the kind of person that could get bored.
Yeah, no, because it's like, I feel that, I do feel that there's possibly, a tolerance to certain people where it's just kind of like, they got, who are like thrill seekers, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's just kind of like, I gotta feel like I'm about to die to get to a certain level of high, you know?
No, I understand that. I don't know, like, I've always had a theory where, like, if you had a really good life growing up, then, like, your expectation for what life is going to be warped to a point where, like, you expect life to go great all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, like, had a normal upbringing where there's ups and downs, you know, you'd probably, like, be much more level-headed about life. You'll be like, okay, sometimes life sucks. Sometimes life is boring. Oh, most times life is boring.
Yeah, if you have a perspective of being at like a certain top and a certain bottom, and then like you go through life like kind of like that, and then like at any point in time, you could also put like a relative counter on the situation and be like, okay, so like I'm at the top, you know, I used to be like this, you know, and so like. And you also expect things to go wrong, you know. That's why people probably get insurance, you know, or forced to get insurance. In most cases, and you know, like you
insurance
know,
is weird.
Insurance is okay. So there's, I would say, insurance was probably the best scam ever made. But
I mean, like health insurance, though.
Health insurance is a kind of a different scenario. I'm more just bitter about car insurance.
No, I totally understand that. Yeah. Like, so like. Here's the thing, I've never gotten into any serious crash. The most serious crash I've gotten into was when my car fucking gave out on me. And that car's not with us anymore.
Cool.
But here's the thing, that car just fucking like died on its own whenever it felt like.
Oh.
So like, what happened to me was I was at a fucking intersection.
Yeah.
I was about to turn right. And then right as I put on gas, my car died on me.
Oh.
So my like nose was out in traffic.
Oh.
And then I was trying to turn right on red. And like, I guess I should have done that. Because what ended up happening, someone like clipped my fucking like headlight.
Oh.
And insurance covered it to a point. I still had to like pay like $200.
Exactly. It's just like, if you're not going to cover though, if you put more money in than the amount of the crash scenario, you should get that money back, you know?
I do see what you're saying, like,
at least to cover the, like, oh yeah, I got insurance, that'll cover, like, you know, that'll cover this whole situation. Like, if you gotta pay out of pocket, then it's just kinda like, I'm paying this company to take my money, essentially.
Yeah. In case shit ever goes down, I'm not gonna have to deal with, I shouldn't have to deal with any of what I've been paying to prevent.
Yeah. I do think health insurance might be a little bit of a different matter, especially if, I know different people have different opinions about, like, oh, I shouldn't be paying for other people when they get hurt, you know?
It's not really that, though.
It's not really that. It's not really that.
No, because, the idea is behind, like, people, behind, like universal healthcare, you know, throw that word out there.
For you Canadians.
Yeah, for the Canos. we don't respect Canadians over here. Suck it.
Yeah.
Anyways, the idea behind, like, universal healthcare is, like, there's going to be a tax for, like, general healthcare for everyone to, like, have a baseline, like, safety net for having to deal with bullshit in life.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that I pay taxes because for the general public to have a safety net is equivalent to me straight up paying for someone else's healthcare is not, like, I don't know if I can call it a fallacy, but, like, it's such a warped way of looking at it. Because, like, no one's coming to your door and being like, hey, my kid has pneumonia. Fucking spit it out. Because, like, saying that is like saying, I am paying for every kid who goes to public schools education.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying, oh, I am paying for every single road that gets refurbished. And
unless you're actually paying all that, the idea behind tax is that you're just paying a bill to the government for them to keep the nation running.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that to keep the nation running, you should have healthy people generally.
Yeah.
And yes, the money you pay in the taxes does go to these specific things. Mm. But again, you're not really choosing to do that.
Yeah, you can't trace your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't, like, now that would be interesting. Now I think it would be.
I mean, like, you do, like, have specific taxes.
Yeah.
For, like, why these things exist.
Yeah.
And all that money goes into a fund that goes into, you know, paying for such things. Mm. But at the same time, I'm not willing to say that you paying a bill to the government is you, like, funding someone, like, specific people's, like, deal, like, I'm trying to branch it out from healthcare specifically,
mm-hmm.
but still, I don't think paying taxes is equivalent to, like, paying someone else's bill.
Mm-hmm.
I think the government has a bill they give their citizens so that they can run the country correctly.
Yeah.
And you pay the government.
Yeah, yeah. If you see it with that perspective, then you can't really say, like, yeah, these taxes I'm paying for specifically go to these things.
Yeah,
yeah.
But here's the thing, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like we've gone into a lot of tangents. Were we originally talking about Atlanta?
Yeah, but I think that's cool. I think it's cool to have a flow of conversation.
No. We were originally talking about Donald Glover.
Yeah.
And before that.
We're talking sideways. We're talking on tangent.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know. Like, I don't know. To be honest, I wish I spent a minute actually thinking about this, like, what I was talking about with taxes, because honestly, all that was off the cuff.
That's cool. That's cool.
Like, I can't, like if someone questioned me and was like, hey, you're wrong about that. Why are you so wrong about that? I just feel like, fact is, I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it beyond, like, well, I have spent a lot of time thinking about it, but I haven't thought about, like, actually, like, putting it into a concrete, like, way of talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't plan to talk about this. If I planned to talk about this, I'd be a lot more, man, there's a word for it, but I'm just going to say I'd be a lot better at explaining my position, because as of right now, I feel like I've explained it in a really shit way.
I think the way you explained it in terms of, like, you're not paying for a specific thing unless, you know, like, for, like, certain circumstances. But you're paying, you're paying money to go to a fund that could be distributed for different things. You know, you're more paying for, like, the ability to fix societal problems, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, if you like living in a certain society, then, you know, you obviously have expectations of that society. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't pay for those expectations of society, then what are you complaining about?
Yeah. I mean, there are people out there that are just like, I shouldn't have to worry about anyone except me and people I specifically want to care about.
Right.
And to be fair, okay. I mean, I guess it's nice that, I guess you only, like, drive on toll roads that you paid for.
Go with the Amish. Go be with the Amish.
Like, just
declare your own city, state, or whatever. Yeah. You know, your own nation or whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, the people like that would also say stuff like, of course, government has its place in, like, you know, fighting wars or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or I guess maybe, I was about to say government oversight of, like make sure health, like water is clean and food product is correct, but at the same time, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people on that side would say that, like, even right now, we go too far with, like, government oversight of, like, food products or water,
if anything, there's an undersight, there's an ignorance, there's a negligence of the government being like, oh, you know, that pipe to Flint, all that money that you guys paid, you know, to probably fix those pipes,
yeah,
went somewhere else.
I mean, like, let's be honest right now, like, Flint isn't the only place like that.
Yeah, no, Ann Arbor's actually getting kind of like, they've tested the water for, like, something that's not, like, as bad as Flint, but, like...
Yeah, I mean, even when we live together, like, I like to buy a lot of those, like, water bottles because, like, I don't know, like, the place we were living, I was kind of worried.
Yeah, no, that's cool. They're, like, the bottled water, a lot of people buy bottled water. Like, I've actually...
It's so expensive.
Yeah, it builds up, but, like... Yeah. Like,
and it's worth it, I think, but...
Yeah. Transportable water? What?
Yeah.
I remember people being like making fun of the idea about water back in like elementary school or something.
Yeah.
And like the idea was just like, what if we took something we always had and put it in a bottle? Why, that's ingenious. We just make millions.
Or someone who hates bottled water. If I want water, I'll just go out when it rains.
No other time. I don't need water any other time than when it rains.
I'm not in LA.
Yeah. Oh man.
What do you think about situations like in LA, where it's just kind of like they live in a desert, you know, and so like they have a water problem.
I mean the West Coast and whatnot. It's so weird because like. The amount of government spending that had to go into making that even livable is insane.
Yeah.
Like, people are not meant to live out there. But we do, because we want to, because it's warm, and being warm is so nice.
Yeah. People aren't meant to live in Florida, but they still do.
I don't think people do live in Florida. I think just heathens live in Florida.
Heathens live in Florida.
Oh, man. I had something for Florida, man.
Florida, man? Oh, my goodness. Okay, so, like, people always like to shit on Florida. Mm-hmm. And I heard, like, John Mulaney talk about why comedians like to shit on Florida. And it generally goes along the lines.
Easy.
Yeah, it's easy. It's just like if Florida wants to, like, you have alligators and snakes coming out of your toilets. You got no one respecting any college in Florida. You got, like, Florida, man, like, some law that's just, like, and no matter how ridiculous it is, it's still got to be publicized or something like this.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. Like, there's two main factors going into, like, Florida being insane.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's one of the most populous states in our country.
Facts.
And every call into the police has to be, like, written down.
Yeah.
And, like, kept in the books so that anyone, if they wanted to, could look through, like, police records and be like, oh, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, like, I'm sorry, I cut you off. You seem to be going somewhere.
Oh, no, you're good. I was just, yeah, no, like, that's actually a really good point where it's just kind of like, if it's going to be highly populated and also shat on for its education, then there's going to be some crazies in there, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of crazy stories about Florida. Like, there's a whole, have you ever heard of this Zora Twitter feed?
No, I have not.
People search up Zora Twitter thing. It's so funny. It's about this girl who has a night out with like a complete stranger, and then they run into. It turns out that the stranger is a
hook for hands.
Is a prostitute for a pimp, and then there's like a whole story between like either her friend and the boyfriend and the pimp. Like the pimp just freaking owns the boyfriend or something like that. They go on some crazy hijinks, and it's supposedly a true story. And it's just, like, the craziest shit. Like, it's just, like, it's interesting. It's very interesting where it's just kind of, like, talking about that boredom situation where it's just got, like, sometimes people can't be content with just sitting down, reading a book, watching some show or something like that. You know, they got to do something. They got to, you know.
Yeah.
Personally, for me, I don't think I could ever, unless I'm, like, very sure of myself, I don't think I could ever just really just, like, go somewhere with a complete stranger, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, like, I wouldn't want to be, like, I don't know, I think I'm willing to just, like, hang out with strangers sometimes, like, as long as I'm not, like, forced to interact with someone, as long as it's something as I could leave the situation if I wanted to. If I see the situation and just, like, man, this guy's fucking crazy, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, as long as I have that, like, ability, I'm cool with being with a stranger. I think that'd be... Like, I think that's totally fine.
Yeah, there's a thing about, you know, you should meet new people. But, like, for me, like, I ain't taking on some Craigslist ad to go on a road trip with some stranger, you know.
Do you think that's real? Do you think it's a thing on Craigslist? It's like, hey, guys, I want to go on a road trip with someone. Anyone want
to
come?
I would assume that it's very close to being a thing, like... totally steal this idea if you like to, but like, what if like instead of an app like Uber or Airbnb, you have an app like I'm about to go on a road trip and I want people, you know? So you just ask random people who also have the free time to go on a road trip to the Grand Canyon or something, and then y'all huddle up and you go.
It's a kind of like a, it's kind of like a crowdfund like trip.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know. I feel like if that existed, it would just turn into a bang bus scenario.
That's funny. But think about it. Like, isn't Tinder a bang bus scenario?
You know, I have a weird experiences with Tinder. Like, super honest, like, the best use I've gotten out of Tinder is finding new music.
Wow.
No, it's super great for that stuff. Like you just, like, find a girl, be like, hey, this is the kind of music I like. What kind of music you got? Like, and you find some cool shit on there.
I see.
No, it's nice. Yeah. I did find this one girl on Tinder.
Yeah.
So, this girl wanted, like, was studying to be a gynecologist. Like, oh, that's cool, that's fine, whatever. And I go on a date with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is so long ago, I feel like I'm going to mess up the story. But, so I talked to her, and, you know, we're having a good time. And the topic of, like, you know, her job comes up. It's going to be a gynecologist. And she talks about how, like what's annoying about trying to be a gynecologist. And she, you know, went on a diet, tried to be like, oh, man, you know, it's a lot of work. You don't get a lot of respect and whatnot. But the way she ended it was, there's nothing funny about gynecologists. Exactly. Exactly. Just bring it up for a month. Made you laugh. Exactly.
I guess
that's not right.
I wonder how many times she said, I'm trying to be a gynecologist, and someone just laughed or something like that. But, like, when you say anything is funny. Everything is funny. If you have the right perspective, all you gotta do is just have a perspective, and it just might be funny, you know? Like, people laugh about the worst things. People laugh about things that just aren't that funny, you know? It's just, like corny jokes. So if you say that, the challenge of saying gynecologist isn't funny is funny, you know?
Exactly. But here's the thing. Like, in my mind, when I heard that, I instantly went, are you fucking insane? There's nothing fun. I can bring up 50 jokes about gynecologists. And I did. But on the outside, I was like, okay, I think you're going a bit far there. I think I can come up with a few jokes for gynecologists.
Yes.
And she was just like, no, you can't. And I took that as a challenge. So I just sat there for like a minute just thinking about gynecologist jokes. And I got a few of them for you. So, This is the gynecologist part of the podcast. It's going to be part of every podcast, gynecologist hour, you know. So, I went to my gynecologist the other day, and I went in there.
What does a gynecologist specialize in?
Vaginas.
Gotcha.
Anyways. So,
I went there to, you go. That's funny.
Exactly. Okay, I'm gonna start over. Okay,
sorry.
So, I went to my gynecologist the other day. And I go in there, and I sit down, and, we get to work. And, you know, it went on for a while, you know. I wasn't really sure how long it was supposed to go. I haven't really been to many other gynecologists. So, I doze off and whatnot. I come back to, and I realize it's been about an hour, and the guy's still down there. So I look at him and go like, hey, how much longer is this going to be? And he looks up and says, oh, you never actually had an appointment. And I look back at him and say, so what have you been doing down there the whole time? To which he replied, enjoying myself.
Yeah.
Good, right?
It's
a little long. I'll admit, it's a little long.
I would say it's a little long.
But I got another one.
Okay.
So, a lesbian gynecologist... I was talking to a lesbian guy in college the other day, and I asked her, what's the best part of your job? To which she said, the taste. Yeah.
How did she respond?
The taste.
No, I'm talking about the
oh,
the
her. She didn't like it. But to be fair, I was having too much fun with myself to care.
Yeah, I've been in those situations. I'm always in that situation.
I do have one more.
Okay.
One more thing's worth talking about. Okay. So I was talking to a male gynecologist. He was bad at sex. That's the whole joke. I don't think I need to make a joke about it. I think that's just funny on its own.
Oh, Oh my goodness.
I do have others, and I'd be willing to throw them out there if you want to hear them.
I think three's good comedy rules.
Okay. I'll stop. Except for this one, because I'm an asshole, and I liked it. So, and honestly, I don't even think this one's very good, but I'm saying it anyways. So, there's two gynecologists. One's a male, one's a female. The male goes up to his gynecologist professor and complains that she's at an unfair disadvantage. She gets so much more practice than he does.
I see.
Yeah, you see, I knew it wasn't that good, but, you know, I was proud of it enough. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Again, every podcast has a gynecologist hour. Alright, I'm sorry, I actually cut you off from something.
No, you're good. I was actually just about to ask about, like, the Tinder date situation.
Oh, yeah, no, that didn't go well at all. Like, by the time I, like, got through, like, my shittier jokes, she was just like, I'm leaving. Like, the first joke, the first joke I said was a lesbian guy in college. Yeah. And, you know, they got a little chuckle, you know, it's just like, oh, and that kept going. And every joke, just that small smile died up more and more and more until she was just dead inside.
She was like, you know what, I'm good.
No, she just got up and left. But you know what, I had to pay for the meal, but honestly, I had enough fun.
I mean... It's a problem. It's a response to someone making jokes about your like soon to be career. You know,
I mean, like I wouldn't have made those jokes. She didn't say there was nothing funny about gynecologists. You can't say that. That's one of the most wrong statements in existence.
I would say if you ever start a sentence with "there's nothing funny about," and then what you say it towards like a person who's just like, "let me try and make fun of it," then it's to be expected.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, I'll be honest, my phone's starting to run out of battery. I have like 4% left. So I say we try to, and honestly, this podcast has been going for almost hour and a half.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good...
That's not bad. But I don't want to end it here. Jokes. Yes. Again, every podcast, gynecologist. But I don't want to end it there. I think there's just things we like to throw out there that we just... like, and we would like other people to see and enjoy and like.
Oh, yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah. I have a list of my things. Do you have anything in particular?
I can point out... Oh, wow. I could point out...
It's gone silent for us.
Yeah.
It knows how important this moment is.
Dramatic silence. Putting the energy of someone or like me saying like, oh, you should look up Schoolboy Q, you drop a new album. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
I really like essentially everything Schoolboy Q. He's a really funny dude.
I'm gonna have to check him out.
Yeah, another funny dude is Vince Staples. His music is less funny, but his interviews are hilarious. He has a really like real point of view. Other than that, stay up to date with the Philip DeFranco show. That show is pretty good.
That's the news YouTuber, right?
Yeah,
he's pretty good. I like him. He's pretty balanced. That's what I like about him.
And he actually just got his company or whatnot
change. I'm sorry to kick off. I don't think he's balanced. I think he's fair.
I think if you're covering a story about anything, you're gonna put your own perspective on it.
Yeah, no matter what. Like, but here's the thing. I think. What I like about it is that he's fair. He gives, like, he doesn't, like, try and make everything, like, balanced. He doesn't try to, like, give credence to every side possible. Mm-hmm. He just says, hey, this is what's going on. These are my thoughts on it.
Yeah, let me state the facts. Yeah.
And, like, yeah, he definitely has some kind of bias. But at the same time, I don't think he bleeds that bias into his, like...
He states the facts and then he states his biases.
He's just like, this is what I think about it.
Yeah.
And these are the facts. And that's what I like about him. Anyways, I'm sorry. You're talking about the Philip DeFranco show, and then?
Oh, yeah, he made a new thing called the Rogue Rocket to get some news articles. If you like Philip DeFranco and how he presents his news, then this is actually pretty new. Rogue Rocket might be the place to go.
Is he making his own,
like CNN website to look at news?
I don't like that.
You don't like that?
I don't like... He's going to have to hire other people to do stuff.
I mean, he's definitely already hired other people to do stuff.
You think so?
I would assume he's not the only person in his company to be searching for news to talk about.
I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he has people, like, send him, like, articles to read. But, like, I don't think he would have... I don't think he would read something else someone wrote about, a news article.
At the very least, I would assume they're, like I think when you get as big as a YouTuber as that person, there's always going to be a dependence on, like, something else just to get, like think about the news stories that, like, how free, like, you used to be, like, every day or something like that,
Still?
It's been possible, yeah.
Philip DeFranco is the kind of thing where it's just, like, if something interesting is going on in the world, I'll check him out.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, is most of the time nowadays.
Yeah, there's news is a new drama TV show. But yeah, no, I would assume that once you get to a certain level, it would also just be nice to not, you know, to be like the solo person doing something. I would definitely assume. And then plus I read a couple stories and they're kind of like, you know, they're kind of stating the facts. And of course, you know, there's gonna be biases and whatnot. But I would assume they would keep it to, like, a Philo DeFranco paradigm dynamic or whatnot.
Yeah, that's fair. Is there anything else you want to throw out there? There's Schoolboy, Philip DeFranco. Schoolboy, right?
Yes, I just want to make sure.
There's someone else you thought was funny.
Look up car crash compilations.
Car crash compilations.
Just be a better driver. That's just so funny.
Oh, that's fair. All right. Is that all?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right. Now for my list. So, I have a problem. It's specifically YouTube addiction. And fact is, that's not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, YouTube is really good.
It's just everything you could want is on YouTube.
Very, very big variety.
And usually better than what you wanted is on YouTube. Like, you thought you wanted Dragon Ball? Check out Dragon Ball Abridged. It's just better.
You gotta have to know Dragon Ball to watch Dragon Ball Abridged. You know, like,
I agree, but then there's Hellsink Ultimate Abridged.
Yeah.
And I showed you that. Remember the vampire and the that Catholic guy that, like, threw on cool, like, rhymes and whatnot?
I can't remember the episodes.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So I just like YouTube a lot.
Yeah.
So I also like trippy stuff a lot. And I spend a lot, and, like, whenever I find something that's specifically trippy and good enough for me to think, hey, I love this a lot, I throw in a little playlist I call A Trip. And I'm going to be making that playlist public, and anyone who wants to check out a bunch of cool trippy stuff, just look that up. It's capital A, capital T, A Trip.
Yeah, get a tab of acid, smoke some pot.
All that good stuff.
Shrooms.
Yeah. But something I don't throw on there, that's something that's not going to be on that list that I really like, is that Pixar comes out with shorts every now and then.
Yeah.
And the newest round of shorts is my favorite.
I like the one with the dough. I can't even remember what it's named.
The dough?
And the characters are kind of like oval shape, I can't even remember.
Are you talking about the things that come, like, right before the movies?
Yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about independent, like, shorts they use just to, like, rein in and, like for the new animators to cut their teeth on.
Yeah, did you show me one before?
Possibly.
Which one are you about to talk about?
The one I love the most is called Kitbull. It's about a kitten and a pit bull.
Okay.
It's super cute, it's super sad, and it's just a great story that doesn't have any dialogue in it. And I love that so much. I love when actions and setting and just the situation speaks so much that you don't need the characters to say a word to explain what's going on.
Stories written with action and no words can sometimes tell the best stories.
It's amazing. Like, that's why WALL-E's one of the best movies.
Oh, man. Yeah, WALL-E.
WALL-E is one of the best. I saw that in theaters, and I just, like,
Like, I was, before WALL-E, my thought process was, man, Pixar will never be Disney. But then I realized I was right. They'll be way better than Disney. And then Disney bothered.
Yeah.
And then Disney will buy everything.
Facts.
It's honestly scary. Like, I'm actually so... I don't think it's... I think it's really fucked up that Disney bought Fox.
I think it's fucked up.
I think it's super fucked up.
What kind of Fox did they buy?
They didn't buy
Fox News.
They bought all of Fox.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, I don't think Disney's going to waste time talking about news. I think... Well, first of all, I don't think Fox is, like, fucking, like, a paradigm of fucking, like,
journalist.
I don't think there's the most credible fucking thing out there.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah. I don't think they have the greatest journalistic integrity. Got it.
There you go.
Yeah. So, like, I'm like, even if Disney decided to just take over Fox, I don't think it's going to be that big a difference, honestly.
No, I think, they probably won't change. I would assume they bought it as a competitor beating, or, like, yeah. You know.
It just exists.
Yeah.
But, like, Disney might just be, like, the streaming service.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They're making a new streaming service, too?
Yeah, they're taking all the Disney shit off of everything else, man.
Yeah.
No Marvel, no, like, Disney movies, no shows.
I thought,
Simpsons is going to be off of things.
Oh, no way.
Simpsons is Fox.
Oh, snap.
It's Family Guy is Fox.
Yeah. I don't think that they will pull... I think anything that's, like, definitely... I don't think they're going to pull, like, Simpsons
Friends.
Family Guy.
Friends won't be on... Friends won't be on Netflix anymore.
I don't think they're going to buy... I don't think they're going to take, like, everything off of it and then put it... I think they would put, like, their own copies on their Disney streaming service. Or maybe they will to fill up... because, like, I would assume at start there's not going to be that many... that many things to choose from.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Disney might have a bigger pool than I originally.
I mean, something that's interesting going on with, like, streaming is, like, on YouTube right now is just a lot of videos about people talking about the death of Netflix or something.
That's bold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, the idea is that Netflix is not going to be able to compete with Disney. And to combat that, they're just going to go hard into anime and hope that's good enough.
Nah, they can make their own originals.
I mean, like, people don't talk about that. We're talking about, like, original animes. But, like, when people say animes,
like, I think they got more than animes. They got,
They do. Yeah. But, like, the idea is that to compete with Disney, the animation powerhouse, they're gonna try and make a fuck ton of anime.
Are you thinking of, anime or animations?
Anime. Specifically anime.
You think Netflix is gonna try to hold their own, in terms of, like, just making a bunch of anime?
Yeah, they're gonna have other stuff, of course. They're not gonna focus specifically on anime, but they're gonna invest hard into anime, thinking that's good enough for people to, like, forego Disney stuff.
That's interesting. I
don't think that's too bad because you can go anywhere and buy Disney DVD or whatever.
Yeah, no, I think that they've been competing against Hulu for a long time, and I think them competing against Disney wouldn't even be that big of a deal in terms of, like, they might lose a loss and, like, people, like, constantly watching their stuff and might switch over to Disney, but, like, I treat it as, like, another channel on a network where it's just, like, you got Hulu, you got Disney, you got Netflix.
Well, there's another thing that DC is going to be making their, like, streaming service.
Oh, that's going to be garbage. Like, that's going to be, like, the lowest tier.
I mean, you're going to have, like, Teen Titans.
You're going to have the Dark Knight trilogy, but, like,
I mean, Shazam's pretty good. Shazam's really good.
Yeah.
Me and Jacob saw Shazam.
Yeah.
And it's really good. Like if they keep making movies like that, they could be on Marvel's level. I'm serious.
Yeah, no, DC has never really found their lane after the Dark Knight trilogy in terms of, like, live action because they had Christopher Nolan as the director.
Well, yeah, but that's kind of the thing, though, is just, like, superhero movies weren't really a thing until Marvel made them a thing.
Yes.
And before Marvel, superhero movies weren't really superhero movies. They were action movies with superhero stuff in them.
Yeah. And now you have, like, actual, like, you know, comic book superheroes becoming movies.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, I think Disney, I think DC's pull is going to be more of their animated stuff than their non-animated stuff. DC makes great animated stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, seriously. Like, honestly, Justice League Unlimited, still probably one of the best shows there are.
Which one is? The Flashpoint? Or what's the one where...
It was the like original like Sunday morning cartoon kind of thing. It was in the same continuity as Batman the Animated Series and Superman the Animated Series and Static Shock. Static Shock was great. I don't remember enough of it, to be honest. Like, I remember he fought Brainiac. I remember he rode around on the
sewers.
Yeah, like a manhole cover.
Yeah.
And then the animator's like, that's fucking hard to draw. Can we just make it a plate? And then they're like, yeah, sure. Like, Purple Lightning, that's fucking rad.
Yeah.
But, like, holy shit. Like, honestly...
They should make a Static Shock movie.
They should. Honestly, like... I feel like it like really could have done it if they like decided to do it like back in that era of like cartoons, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like because like he was still kind of big and like you know Batman Beyond.
Oh, is that the all black Batman with the red?
Yeah. He showed up in that. He showed up as old Static Shock.
Whoa.
Yeah. It is rad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had like long gray dreadlocks. He's fucking rad.
That's dope.
Yeah. I was gonna say something cool. Shit, I'll move on to something else, I guess, because I have other things I want to talk about. Speaking of Marvel stuff, there's something going on YouTube right now that's really cool. It's a video like compilation of various like comic book oriented YouTubers talking about their favorite Marvel scene,
mm-hmm.
Not favorite Marvel movie. Not favorite Marvel, like, I like comic or just favorite scene from a Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. The series is called, like, A Marvelous Moment.
Mm.
And just check it out on YouTube. It's great.
Cool.
But what's interesting to me is that it came out right after another amazing, like, video compilation over various channels called "What Lessons I Learned from Animation," and you can just look up that, and you'll see a catalog of different like YouTubers talking about stuff like that, and it's all pretty damn good. Like some of it does talk about, you know, like superhero stuff.
Mm.
Some of it talks about like obscure like animations like Thumbarella. Ever heard of that shit?
Nope.
Yeah, you shouldn't. I don't know. But the person, like, it's just people talking passionately about what affect them in their lives. Mm. And I think that will always be interesting. Mm.
People should look up SSOHB Casey.
Yep.
He hasn't dropped a video in, like, 4 years, but...
He might be dead. It's possible.
You know what I actually saw the other day?
Yeah.
It was like less than a month ago. He edited one of the playlists. Like, you could go to the playlist. Yes, and in the playlist it says edited like February or March or something like that.
So weird.
Yes, and so I'm really thinking like either, and then like some videos have the comments disabled, so either people will be like, "Seamus, come back," and then he's just like, "I don't see that anymore." Yeah,
you can blame it all on Noah.
You can blame it all on strep throat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people bought him for him to come back. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I know, like, YouTubers are so weird, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it really was its own thing. It still is really its own thing, right? Like, it's just someone decided to throw YouTube, like, video games on YouTube, and it worked out.
Yeah.
And then a lot of other people want to do that, and market got saturated, so you have to stand out somehow. But, like, that old vanguard of people who just kind of did it and it just worked out because there just wasn't that much going on and they were just entertaining people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of them are still doing it. Some of them, like, you know, there's...
Chugga Conroy's still doing it.
I don't think I ever watched that yet.
Oh, I mean, like, he does mainly Nintendo stuff and then, like... But he's, like, he's a classic YouTuber and then, like, he's... Like, he still goes, and he's still, like, right now he's just finished, or he's currently doing, I think he's nearing the end of, not Wind Waker, The second one of Wind Waker, where there's like their ships. Phantom Bower's Glass.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because I was like the only like direct sequel I could really think of in Zelda was Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask.
Oh.
That's the only thing I could think of.
He's definitely done those two.
Yeah.
I don't know about Majora's Mask, but I think he definitely... Actually, I don't know. People
love Majora's Mask. I would be shocked if he's been doing it for a long time and hasn't done Majora's Mask.
True. Who else is out there?
I was going to talk about... Chilled Chaos. Have you ever heard of that guy?
Chilled Chaos. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, I don't know, like, I'm trying to remember. I think he was in the same group as, like, Seamus.
No, he didn't get something else.
No? He wasn't part of the Creatures for some time?
No, he wasn't part of the Creatures, but he definitely had his own group of Let's Players he also, like, featured with a lot.
I don't know. It's weird. Because, like, it seems like every, like, group of, like, Let's Players has, like, the one guy who really, like, stands, like, succeeded, and the rest kind of just, like, either had moderate enough success to keep going, or just kept going because like
they just like
all it. They like it, and all their friends are doing it. So like it brings in some money, you know.
Yeah.
I still gotta work for a living, but you can suck dick on a side of YouTube. And there's nothing wrong with that, other than the strep throat. Call Seamus out.
there's a thing about YouTube has its own like. Respect in a sense of like you go outside YouTube, but like if you made music on YouTube and then you try to go outside YouTube, you're not gonna be met with the same same respect as in like someone who's like who made music and is in like a record label or something.
Right. I mean, record label is a little weird because like so many people are out there being like, man, record labels are bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's like they're just made to make things famous, not because they're good, just so they know they can market stuff.
Yeah, no, record
labels. A lot of people talk shit on the white rapper, not Eminem.
Logic, G-Eazy,
damn it. I know there's more than like two white rappers out there, but like. Fuck, damn, I can't remember his name. Stoney?
Logic, Post Malone. Logic
Post Malone. A lot of people talk. Mix. Here's the thing. I honestly think the only thing good about Post Malone is his voice. Because his voice is angelic.
You know what's funny about that? People shit on his voice all the time.
Really?
People shit on his voice. People say he can't sing.
I think he can't make lyrics.
That's funny.
I think, like, I was listening to one of his songs. I think it was, like, Sunflower, because it was in the motherfucking Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And that song is straight up like, hey girl, you're nothing without me. without me, you're nothing. You won't go far. You wouldn't go anywhere. And that's so fucked up. Yeah, it's so fucked up. I don't know, I can't imagine someone listening to that and being like, man, this guy really is a really.
There are worse songs.
Of course there's worse songs.
There's this song that a lot of people actually petitioned or something like that to like get taken off like Christmas music.
Yeah.
It's like, I really have to go, but it's like...
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. People just make it sound like the guy's like forcing that girl and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was a different time. It doesn't change the fact that it's creepy as fuck, and most people see it as what it actually is. And, like, back in the day, like, that kind of misogyny and, like, forcing a woman was accepted.
Yeah, that's
fucked up.
Really hard to like even like have a. It's there's sometimes where it's like you can understand someone's perspective, but then it's just like times has changed so much that you can't even really have you can't even really begin to understand that kind of perspective.
All right, honestly, I think like the like most obvious explanation that is like homosexuality. Like, go back 10 years, someone says, call something gay, they actually mean it's, like, it's homosexual, and therefore worse.
And nowadays, stupid.
Yeah, nowadays someone calls something gay, you're like, oh, you're just being a jackass, and you think that thing's dumb. Yeah. And like, 10 years from now, someone will call something gay, and people will be like, yeah, dude!
Oh, you gotta be in that, like, that like circle of people where it's just kind of.
Oh
like,
my god! Do you think it's gonna come full circle and make and gay will just become like the original meaning of it?
I think it's always. I think the connotation has always been there, and so it wouldn't be impossible to think that like eventually the phrasing of it is gonna be, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone's gonna have gay old time and mean it's. It's a happy time sucking day. Alright, my phone is at. Yeah, on that note, my phone is at 2% battery, and I think sucking dick is a great place to end the podcast.
Yeah.
So, the Sideways podcast, because that other Sideways podcast just isn't crooked enough for us.
Nope.
There's not enough eyes in there.
No, we're talking tangents is how it was Sideways.
Yeah, you know, I actually really like that. Yeah. I really like the whole tangent thing. Yeah. I hope other people enjoy hearing us go into tangents, because I'm so sure, like, I just realized where this started. Hmm. It started with us talking about, like, good and bad games.
Yeah.
And then we just talked about Dragon Ball.
Yeah, we never talked about a single bad game.
Oh man, if we really wanted to push this, we're not gonna push it. I'm just saying, if we wanted to, we could we could try full force, last effort, just talk about like good game, bad game, so my phone dies and the audio just cuts out when we're in the middle of talking.
I would be more worried about like the fact that what if the audio didn't save if your phone died right there.
That's a good point. With that, thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah. That's the end of the podcast.
You want to play a bad game? Play Metal Gear Survival.
Yep.
There you go.
All right. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night. Hope you have a good day.
Stunning performance.